Hey there, it's Ariel Helwani, one-third of the fastest-growing show in combat sports.
I'm Chuck Mendenhall.
And I'm P.T. Carroll, and together we are 3PAC.
Join us on the Spotify Live app after every UFC pay-per-view and become a part of the best community in mixed martial arts.
Or, if you can't make it, check out the Ringer MMA Show podcast exclusively on Spotify.
See you then. Love yous.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com. Tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else. This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
What's going on, jabronis? It's Pitch Mr. Perfect, Skylar Astin.
Hey, this is Bruce Pritchard.
This is Roast Battle Season 1 champion Mike Lawrence.
Husky Steve Kazee.
This is Trey Kirby.
This is your girl, WWE superstar, the legit boss, Sasha Banks.
Hi, this is Lillian Garcia.
My name's Kevin Owens.
I have Shinsuke Nakamura.
I'm AJ Styles, the phenomenal one, if you will, and you're listening to them.
And you're listening
you're
to.
You're listening to.
And you are listening to.
And you're listening, listening to.
You are listening to the Masked Man Show.
The Masked Man Show.
The Masked Man Show.
The Masked Man Show.
Masked Man Show.
Masked Man Show.
Well, this was not how I expected to start off my celebratory birthday weekend, was doing an extra show at the end of a Friday, but certain news happens that requires conversation. And guys, today is the day. First of all, I'm Peter Rosenberg from Cheap Heat. I'm joined by the great Masked Man and Kaz of the Masked Man Show with Kaz.
Yo, what's going on, Pete? This is definitely one of those where were you moments in pro wrestling history, right? Like, there's only a handful of those. Like, I remember where I was when Vince bought WCW. I remember where I was when Moxley debuted at AEW. I remember when Punk's return. But this is, like, with no hyperbole, probably like the biggest day in wrestling history. Like, this is nuts.
Well, it's certainly the biggest. Listen, it's a transition of the most important person in the history of the business. I mean,
yes,
because there's obviously so many things to talk about with regard to Vince and Dave. Obviously, well, I want to get your thoughts and hear what you're hearing because you're very connected to these tweets and these streets. But, you know, this is, no matter how you feel about him and no matter what the circumstances are around the end here, he's the most important figure ever. He changed television. He changed closed circuit and pay-per-view. And, of course, he changed wrestling. So, Shoemaker, your thoughts and what are you hearing?
Well, you said this wasn't how you expected to spend your Friday. I'm calling you from Wildwood Pier on the Jersey Shore. So, clearly not how I expected to spend mine either. You know, I remember all those moments Kaz talked about. There's only a handful of moments where you get out of the shower and there's like 100 text messages waiting for you and you're just like trying to freak out and figuring out what happened. This is a big moment. I think it's a moment that even those of us who, you know, have spent a lot of time watching WWE thought would never happen. I think that, you know, if you'd taken a poll of people inside the company, they would have said it would be, you know, he was going to go out on his back, you know? And this is it's a really interesting time. I will say, I haven't talked to a lot of people on the inside. Rosenberg, you may be more tapped in than me right now, but everything that I'm hearing is that this is, to use the wrestling parlance, this is 100% a shoot, that he's really stepping back even from creative stuff and won't be having anything to do with day to day anymore. As everyone knows, he's not present at SmackDown. And that looks like the way it's going to be going forward. Just to reiterate the news that everybody I'm sure knows, Stephanie McMahon and Nick Khan are now co-CEOs of the company, which, you know, sounds a little bit like a wrestling gimmick, but I guess, you know, it works. It kind of has been working at Netflix. I don't know.
Now, Kaz, what say you?
I mean, I've been talking to as many people as I possibly can in the past like 2 hours, and like everything Dave said, this is 100% a shoot. I don't want to you know read this directly, but I was forwarded a message that was given to all talent, pretty much ensuring me that this is a shoot and that Vince was truly walking away. I won't share the words of it, but it was a statement that was different than the public statement that was given and different than what was tweeted out directly from Vince McMahon. And yeah, this is, we, David and I had spoke about this for the past several weeks, just about, you know, if this is going to be a something burger or a nothing burger, right? Like when it came to the allegations that were surrounding Vince McMahon for the past, you know, several, like, I guess, like articles that came out. And I always believed that this was the only logical sort of step, right? Like we live in a time where, you know, there's a lot of reasons, or we've seen a lot of examples in current sports history where people in positions of power are under fire, especially when it comes to wielding your power against women. And in almost all of these situations, they've either had to sell the company or sell the team or step back and retire. And this is no different. From what I'm hearing creatively, which I guess this is probably of most importance to anyone who listens to these shows, I'm hearing Bruce Pritchard is going to step in as head of creative. I'm also hearing not much as far as like the structure is going to change. It was announced today that Triple H was head of talent relations now in WWE. And yeah, it's a shocking day, but from everything that I'm sort of gathering just about like what's been going on behind the scenes, what's going on at SmackDown right now as we speak, what's gonna, you know, what domino effect is gonna have on SummerSlam in Nashville, it really feels like some tip of the iceberg shit right now, which is crazy to say when a guy like Vince McMahon, a person who we've only, you know, known about, and when it comes to sports entertainment and wrestling and just everything we know about it, steps away. So it just seems like it's going to get bigger before it seems like a story that's only going to get bigger as the weeks and months go on.
I'm very curious about how it all shakes out with regard to other people and other people in positions of power. Like we know that how things appear to be structured in the immediate, mm-hmm. but there are still some really big players in this company who are Vince guys.
Yeah.
And we've certainly seen during the Nick Khan era that he brings in his guys, you know, yeah. That is what he's done throughout many departments. You know, he's brought in his guys and that's what's happened here. I'm super curious about how that shakes out and what happens to a lot of the longtime Vince McMahon guys in the company. The creative thing obviously is fascinating. And then when you factor in that just 2 weeks ago, we heard no more TV PG.
Mm.
Now you have this. I mean, then we hear the rumors today that Brock Lesnar walked out on SmackDown, which who knows what that means. Is he walking out on SummerSlam?
That is true. From what I was told, he did walk out of SmackDown, but it's not necessarily guaranteed that he won't be at SummerSlam. But
right. But the concern is there.
Yeah, there's definitely concern there that he's just like, I'm out.
Like, think about how different the entire landscape in theory could be in a few months.
I like
months.
What you and did I, there with the words, with the theory. I like what you they, did
oh,
there.
Oh, well, wow. Total accident. And by the way, let's also throw in some harsh truth. AW's not great right now. Ooh. Okay? AW's kind of weak at this moment. This is not their strongest time.
Yeah.
And it's interesting now that WWE is getting this huge change, which who knows? Guys, you know what? It's like in football. They bring in a new coach halfway through the season. Yo, the team wins three straight.
Right.
New energy.
Yeah.
New excitement.
And it's going to feel like that. It's going to feel like that, I think
it will. It's going to be scary, but there could easily be a surge. And it's the timing's sort of fortuitous for them because AEW's not great right now.
So I'm not going to fall into the AEW trap that you just set for me. So I'm just going to Eurostep right around that one. But I think you do make a valid point as far as, and someone I was talking to today said, you know, the things that are happening in the ring in 2022 are all right, but this is an all-time outside of the ring year when it comes to like just stories and just like the behind the scenes and just the importance of what's going on out there. So for what people may think about Vince, for what people may think about him and what he's meant to the business, and you know, you always obviously have to give him his immense praise because he's turned this into a billion-dollar industry. There's got to be at least some excitement in the unknown of what's about to happen, right? Like any wrestler that you see online or anybody who's just someone who's followed the company for a long time has all felt like, you know, this time was coming, and there's now this excitement there of just being like, okay, so now what? Like now what's next? Like now there's opportunity to really, you know, revolutionize or change or do something, you know what I mean? That's that, you know, maybe people have, you know, fallen out of love with when it comes to the WWE product. And just,
oh no, if you're someone who doesn't, sorry, Dave, I'll let you get in. If you're someone who has not enjoyed the product recently,
yeah,
there's no way you can't be excited, because if nothing else, it will be a creative change.
Yes.
There's no way around
I mean, even if you wanted to take some sort of like arch point of view to this whole thing, and you think Vince is going to try to jump back into power in 6 months. I mean, none of that's anything that I've heard, but I'm saying no matter what you think about what's going on, there are people who are now, people have new roles, certainly new positions of power. And if you don't think that every single person up and down the corporate roster of WWE has a back pocket checklist of ideas they would put into effect if they had the power to do it for the entire time they've worked there, you're crazy. Like everybody is now going to be jockeying to see who gets to change things, who gets to be, you know, the force that helps turn things around. Because I think everybody, anywhere you've ever worked, you felt the same way, right? I mean, and now there's going to be an opportunity for those kind of things to take place. I think the point you made earlier, Peter, about the Vince, man, I mean, a lot of people are going to be asking questions about some of the people that are Vince folks working up and down and, you know, not kind of the new people that are coming in or the Nick Khan people. I mean, listen, I think for the time being, it's going to be a whole lot of stay the course. That's what we're going to hear. That's what we're going to see. I think that, I mean, you know, just to pull a name out of a hat, somebody like Kevin Dunn, there's been a lot of talk about him today, but also in the past. I mean, he's a real integral part of WWE's relationship with Fox specifically, but also with NBC Universal. And I think that it'll probably be in everybody's best interest to like make everything seem as normal as possible going forward. Right.
Well, that change would be, you want to talk about an impactful change. Like that would be that's a great way of putting it. You talk about disarray and concern. I don't know that there's anyone on planet Earth who totally understands the production of this show except Kevin Dunn.
Yeah.
And until he has set up the next person for that or people for that, I know everyone on the internet is jumping, oh, well, that means Kevin Dunn's gone. And by the way, half the people who say that on the internet don't even know what Kevin Dunn does. They just know he's a name that they want gone because he's associated with Vince. But I don't see how they would do that. And that would be a monstrous change if they did.
I don't know, man. I just, I'd hate to keep beating this horn or beating this drum for a while, but when you talk about fundamental changes to this company, I'm not even thinking Kevin Dunn. I'm not even thinking of any of these people that we've all seen for a while. You said CAA and not CAA, but Nick Khan brings in a lot of his own people. And I can't shake the feeling that this is eventually going to somehow end up in Dwayne Johnson's hands. Like, I feel like just somehow, some way, if it's not in this next 5 years, but I might be going off course a little bit here, but
no, this is interesting.
I just feel like with the XFL really getting ready to launch and just how important that could really be to becoming like the NXT of the NFL, where they turn into an actual developmental football company that also has like the star power of this dude. If that succeeds, I truly have, like, I can't shake the feeling that somehow The Rock becomes the person who runs this company with Nick Khan in some way, shape, or form. Like, that's the ultimate I'm bringing in all my guys moment, right? Like, he's the ultimate Nick Khan guy. You know, like
it's always I mean, I haven't heard anything about that. And that,
I haven't heard about it either, but I'm just speculating now.
But if we're just spitballing here,
yeah.
I will say that though, I mean, the biggest thing about, you know, the Nick Khan point that Peter made earlier is that, you know, as much as he does bring in, has brought in his folks and seems very, you know, I mean, that's what you do when you're in that sort of position. He really has had, seemed to have a fairly honest, like, just total, I mean, like, honestly, I don't think he's that interested in running creative, right? I don't know that, I mean,
no, I mean,
there's got to be some point where any, like, CEO has to look at their company. If they think creative is the problem, you do something about it. But I don't think that, you know, that's necessarily going to be his first step. That said, it does also seem like he's had a pretty specific disinterest in becoming a character, right? And I don't just mean in the very literal Mr. McMahon sort of way. I think that it would probably be really attractive to him to have someone like The Rock around. You know, I mean, that was obviously supposed to be, I mean, that's what a lot of people have pegged Stephanie for, but I'm not sure if she's the person to be, I don't think she's as good as she would be The Rock in terms of just being the public face of the company. And I don't know, I don't know if he has time for it. I don't know if he has time for it, but, you know, I mean, I don't even know if it would have to be legit. He can be the new Jack Tunney, you know,
that's what I'm saying. Like, it would be some figurehead shit. Like, he would be the guy.
Real world Jack Tunney. I'm not talking about totally an angle here. I'm talking about
real world Jack Tunney, though, where he has this role, but the role's not really that important day to day. The important part is that he shows up and he represents the brand.
Exactly.
I'll tell you guys what, this is why they pay you the big bucks. These are good ideas. These are good thoughts.
Pete, can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question since you threw the AEW thing there? There's this obvious, you know, social media sort of reaction to Vince stepping down, that this is a win for AEW. And this is a win because, you know, the only reason a company like WWE had been in power for so long is because they had a monopoly on pro wrestling. And the moment another capable pro wrestling company was launched, you know, shit got crazy, right? Pete, if you're an AEW fan, is today a win for an AEW fan?
Absolutely not.
Really?
No.
Really?
Because if you've been happy with how things have been going, there's going to be a shakeup. Mm. It is not going to go the same way. And you don't know that the people... Listen, if you're an AEW fan, you're fine. I don't think your concern should be WWE.
Right.
Your concern should be the storylines are not good right now. And this is turning into WCW 2001 in year. If it were to happen in WCW 1994, that would be my concern.
Wow. Wow.
I'm sorry. This week's episode.
Listen, that's fine. But like, hey, I mean, listen, I mean, if the tables were turned, we're talking about if WWE were in this position, all you'd have to say is, just wait for the day that CM Punk and Kenny Omega and Bryan Danielson walk back through that door.
That's a little harsh, right? I'm like, they are pretty injury riddled right now, you know? Like,
oh no, that's a fact also.
But listen, it's not a win. I mean, if it turns out that the allegations that we've heard about Vince are way worse than we've heard, that there's a bunch more coming down the pipeline, and by the way, the investigation that the WWE board is doing continues apace. Like, it's not, if the hope was that this is that him stepping down would end it, that's not going to happen, or at least it's not. It hasn't happened yet. So more very well may come out. And if more comes out and it's worse than what we've heard or whatever else, it's not a win for AEW. It's a fucking win for humanity, right? It's a win for like what's right in the world. Let's be really straight about that.
Facts.
You know? And I think, Whatever influence Vince had, I mean, Vince might have been a magician. Vince might have kept all this stuff going, but there's a lot of institutional advantages that a monopoly like WWE has that are going to be wielded by other people. You know, I mean, like, you know, whoever, Stephanie and Nick Khan now have the keys.
But my point is, that's the bad news for AEW fans, is that the keys went from a 77-year-old guy who, let's be honest, Vince McMahon is, I don't need to give his accolades, he's 77. He's not throwing 103 anymore, okay? He's not.
He didn't have his fastball. He could get you with a couple curveballs here and there, but the fastball's gone.
Listen, theory was a nice pitch with movement, you know? It landed for a strike. But the fact of the matter is, now the company's going to a really capable Stephanie McMahon and Nick Khan.
Yeah.
Like, that is, with all the same things at their disposal, but younger, aggressive. You know, Nick Khan is a business machine.
Yes.
Always has been.
Yeah.
Literally All that dude does is win.
Yeah.
So that's why I would say no. If you're celebrating this as some sort of not a victory for AEW, more as you're celebrating as a loss for WWE, I don't think in the long run that it is.
Okay. So another thing I wanted to ask is just, you know, there's this been this idea that, you know, if you talk to any wrestler or just fan, that Vince being gone was the one thing that's been holding this place back for a long time. Does anybody in here subscribe to that theory? Do you think him leaving finally opens up what the potential to for this company to go back and get the same sort of, you know, tribalistic fandom that WWE had at one point?
I'll say what I said before, and I'll be quick. If you have not been happy with the creative is going to change. If you've been happy with the creative is going to change. You know better than anyone, Kaz. At the end of the day, the buck stops with Vince McMahon.
Yes.
From the smallest thing to the biggest, it gets run by Vince McMahon. So that has to have a huge impact.
That's why it's hard to minimize this, man. Like, this is, you know, as someone who sat there and just seen through thick and thin, literally every show, him being like at the headset, being like that last.
Yeah, why didn't you ask the question? You should be answering the question.
Because nobody wants to hear from me, Pete. It's people may say, oh, you know, if Pritchard's there and Kevin Dunn's still there and all these people are still there, like nothing much is going to change. But you really don't understand, like, what it, the people that lead up to Vince, like the Ed Koskys of the world, like those dudes are just as important as Vince is, but that buck that used to stop there and not being there is going to fundamentally change the show. And I want to like keep it as, you know, I'm only phrasing this in creative storyline versions of how we enjoy wrestling, because obviously there are very serious allegations attached to Vince, and you know, all as those things come out, you know, that obviously takes importance over anything. But just as a consumer of the product and somebody who's a fan of it or people who watch it, him not being there changes the show. Point, case in point, hearing that Brock Lesnar is walking out of SmackDown didn't surprise me at all. Like, that was the huge, no. There wasn't people like knowing how that place works. Brock doesn't just, well, when I was there, Brock didn't just work with everyone. You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't like you just get handed a piece of paper like, here, you go work with Brock today. Like, no, Brock works with the people he works with. And if somebody as important as Vince is not there anymore, as a performer, you can probably say, I don't feel comfortable going out there. If there's anybody out there who's probably felt most protected in their character because of Vince McMahon, it would be a Brock Lesnar. So like hearing that he's going to walk out, that's immediately something that changes creative, because there's going to be other people who kind of feel that right. way. You know what I mean?
I think to answer your original question, Kaz, yeah. I mean, listen, nobody who's been watching WWE for their lifetimes like we have would say that, you know, creative's firing at, you know, on all cylinders right now. And I think that there's, will this be a positive for it? Well, you know, I think that there's a lot of institutional baggage that's been built up over the years. You know, I think that you've seen how it works on the inside. I mean, anybody that's worked for a, you know, grand person in any industry has probably had a relatively similar experience. The whole structure that's built up around them eventually becomes a detriment to the product, you know? And the question really is, are the new people who are in charge going to deconstruct that? Are they going to rebuild everything? You know, are they going to actually like create an environment that's conducive to creativity? And I guess we'll see if that happens, you know? I mean, it's really hard to say. About the Brock thing, I mean, it's kind of crazy that they didn't predict that and figure out a way to nip it in the bud in advance, right? I mean, I don't think that this is like Vince McMahon's like nuclear option, that like as soon as he was gone, he knew Brock was going to walk out the door or anything like that. But it's a really bizarre situation. One name that we haven't talked about on this phone call at all or this podcast at all is Paul Heyman, who I think is a really interesting player as far as that conversation goes going forward, because I think we talked about it before, but what, you know, ever since that he like got the job running Raw and then got removed from that job, I think there's been this public like perception that he's just an on-screen performer and nothing else, but he's one of the most influential guys in the whole company.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, and he's definitely on the phone with Brock right now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So is Brock leaving because Vince is his guy and he's that offended, or is Brock leaving because Paul Heyman didn't get an official job title? You know, like there's a lot of I'm making that up. Wow. I have no idea.
I didn't even think about it that way.
But you know, that could certainly be a part of it too. I mean, and listen.
So you think there's a world where, you know, these new, you know, Triple H is announced as head of talent relations, they announced new co-CEOs, they didn't announce it, but internally it's like, you know, Pritchard gets moved up, all these people get moved up, and my guy on screen and off screen, Heyman, who's probably not just the most influential when it comes to, you know, my character, but a lot of stuff that's going on here gets nothing. He's not involved in this at all. You think that's,
I don't know. I mean, Heyman's the kind of guy who does not need a job title, right? I don't think that he's like, you know, updating his LinkedIn page that frequently, but I think it's more about just like courtesy and what his expectations are going forward. And I'm making all of this up, right? Same. I mean, I don't know that anything is going on, but I do think that Brock walking out is interesting because, well, frankly, if you had complaints about, you know, WWE's creative, Brock might have been on your list, right? I mean, the way he just like, I mean, everybody enjoys Brock Lesnar, but the way he's been used has been a question mark for some time too. I mean, I think the big question is going to be who's going to replace him. There have already been a lot of people that are talking, that are, you know, reporting that Goldberg is on his way into SmackDown tapings, that he's going to take that spot. I was joking earlier that Jeff Jarrett would get the nod. You know, he seems to be getting everything these days. I mean, it's kind of crazy that this is where they are, right? I mean, the company's got to put its best foot forward. And, you know, Brock's just, you know, he's gone. He's off the reservation. You know, I mean, it's not a great first look for the new regime.
No, it's tough. And if he is in fact gone and they have to find a main event for their second biggest pay-per-view.
Who do you call? You got the phone right now. Who do you call right now? Be like, yo, Brock just walked out. We only have 7 Roman dates left for 2022 and we got to fill up a stadium in Nashville. We need you. Here's a blank check. Who do you call?
I mean, listen, obviously we don't know what the WrestleMania plans are next year, but I can't imagine there's a world in which you wouldn't at least ring the bell of The Rock and John Cena to see what's up. I mean, I think that's where you start.
Yeah.
That's where you start. And even if The Rock was planned to be WrestleMania, there's a world in which you think with this much change and how much we're going to be in the news, we need the steady hand of The Rock to do this. Mm. And if Kaz, your hunches are true, that maybe there's a world in which him and Nick run this thing together, he comes in on some level, certainly you could see him maybe changing plans as a result. I know he's been busy promoting his cartoon with Kevin Hart, but they've made all the Instagram posts they can possibly make. Mm-hmm. He could be free by next Saturday night. I think those names. Now,
yo, I got another. I got, you know who I call?
Who's that?
Somebody who just worked WrestleMania this past WrestleMania, his first WrestleMania in 19 years. You don't give Stone Cold a ring and be like, yo, we could really use you right now of all times to get some positive shit going, to get someone to fill up a stadium in a week's
notice.
He's
on your list.
We need you for 8 minutes, Stone. Could you give us 8 minutes? It's like, well, I forgot what coach said it with I forgot who was hurt. Somebody, I think Pat Riley said somebody had a busted leg. It was like Charles Smith or something. He's like, yo, could you give us 5 minutes? He's like, yeah, no. Right. So why the fuck are you in street clothes? Exactly.
Exactly.
So I'd give Stone Cold a ring.
Austin's on that list. And then the realistic ones, I think, you know, in terms of people that are around, there's a way to change plans with Theory and make that something, but that seems rushed. Mm. And you could also rush, you could do Seth.
Yeah.
That's an option as well. You could always do that.
You could do, I mean, listen, there's other people there too, right? You could do Drew. He's apparently going to get, he's supposed to be lined up for Crooks and Castles.
Which, you
know, yeah, but you know, I mean, listen, if, you know, if, whatever. I think there's probably a lot of people that would go where my mind immediately goes, which is, you know, let's have an 8-man tournament on the show, you know, tear everything down, start it back up, you know, let's just see what we can do. That at least get some people talking. Right. I mean, outside of that, I mean, the sad thing is we've named all the names. I mean,
I mean, I think there's a way you could get my guess, like my only realistic, like, switch things up, main event outside of Goldberg, which I think is highly realistic, is I think you triple threat Riddle, Seth, and Roman for the Universal title. Riddle was the last person to challenge for it. Rollins has, you know, it's Rollins. You can always make that work. And then you put Roman in there as your triple threat, like, and just roll with that. That's my only thing. If Goldberg isn't happening,
how much money would it take for CM Punk to jump ship and show up at SummerSlam?
It would he would need the deed to the city of Chicago probably to do that
right.
shit.
Right. But there are three. You do have three shows. Mm-hmm. You have SmackDown Monday at the Garden,
which is and then the wild and timing, then the go home, by the way.
Wild timing, and then the go home on Friday. So in your fantasy world, Shu, there is a place in which you could have a tournament and be like, we're going to pick someone over the next week and it's going to be historic and it gives you WrestleMania 4 vibes. Mm. And then you get someone. There is a world in which that works.
And guess what? If Brock decides to come back, then he can just go and terrorize whoever wins the tournament and like insert himself into exactly. the match. You know, like it's not super complicated.
Oh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead. Sniff those pits. Now your bits. Feet, toes, come on. Ugh. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Last thing I'm going to say. This just popped into my head. When Tim Cook passed, Apple immediately changed. Products changed. The way they did business changed. They got greedier. They went away from some of their basic kind of tenets as a company mm-hmm. and opened things up once Tim Cook was gone. I remember a classic moment in my sports history. The Celtics, my basketball team, never had cheerleaders. They did not have cheerleaders. Red Auerbach's direct quote was, "Over my dead body." The second he died, guess what they did? So,
yeah.
The Celtics dance team. So, the point is, there are going to be changes. It's when someone's that involved, there are going to be major changes. All right.
Excited.
I can hear the seagulls.
Listen, there's a reason why every time a coach gets fired, the team does better for a little bit, right? It's a new energy, and you know, a lot of those relationships, a lot of those situations, people are just sort of like, it's just exhaustion across the board by whatever the leadership issues were, and you know, you get a big boost of energy from that sort of thing. I think that, and like I said before, man, everybody, no matter how much of a yes man you think they are, everybody's got ideas for how they would fix the company. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to get to see.
That's right. Well, listen, tune in to all the Ringer Wrestling podcast next week. We will all be getting into more, and I'm sure there'll be lots of new information by the time next week rolls around. Shu, enjoy the seagulls in Wildwood. Kaz, are you back?
I'm back. I'm back in Jersey. You're here.
You're back. Yeah. Enjoy lovely New Jersey.
I will see you in Nashville, sir.
I will see you in Nashville. Shoemaker, I'll see you in Nashville too, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Guys, next week, enjoy the weekend. God bless.